Jonathan found textual reference to the three kinds of loka. Actually, it's commentary note to the Sutta of the Flowers in Samyutta Nikaya, which starts off with the bhikkhus, I do not dispute with the world, rather it's the world that disputes with me. A proponent of the Dhamma does not dispute with anyone in the world. Of that which the wise in the world agree upon as not existing, I too say that it does not exist. And of that which the wise in the world agree upon as existing, I too say that it exists. And it goes on to talk about rupa, feeling, perception, formations, consciousness. And in the commentary footnote, it says, in the sutta, three types of world are spoken of. When it said, I do not dispute with the world, it's a world of being, sataloka, a world for phenomenon in the world. Here, the world of formation, sankara loka. And the Tathagata was born in the world. Here, the geographic world, okasa loka. As soon as one hears and discusses something, one comes across it.
Loka means world.
Yes.
And Ajahn is asking you, what is the world now?
What is the world now? See, each one should be. Otherwise,
one thinks in one's own way about world or anything. But no understanding of what really is the world.
So the first one is like the geographic world, like people live in the world or the world outside or the stars and planets. So this conventional world is okasa loka. This is the first one. And the second one, the world of beings, like what people believe, what people say. So ideas about the world of beings. This is sata loka. Sata means beings or people. And the third one, Sankara Loka, refers to the world as taught by the Buddha about absolute realities. So visible object that is seen now is the world, because it arises and it falls away, and at that moment it is the entire world. It is just that which is experienced at that moment. Seeing itself is a world. Sound that's heard is a world. So each Dhamma that arises and falls away is a world. So this is the deeper meaning of world as taught by the Buddha. The world that crumbles away, each one falls away instantly. Different from the conventional world as we're used to thinking of it.
I think the point is there's only one world at any given moment. Although it appears to us that there are the six worlds of the sense doors, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, happening simultaneously and continuously. The reality is otherwise, that there's just one world at any moment, either the world of seeing or of hearing, but not both. Of course, that is not something that we can verify immediately. But that is his explanation of the way things are. So for our consideration and verification in due course, if understanding is developed.
So if that is the case, how are we to understand the first two worlds, the Osaka and the Sata Loka? Because at a moment of seeing, there's no idea of Osaka, the outside world.
Okasa, it is.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's an idea.
But yet, the Buddha says these three will exist.
So can we say that the first two are the worlds of concept?
And the second one is the real world of the reality. And the third one is the real world of the realities. So,
for example, when the Buddha says of that, the wise in the world agree upon as existing or not existing, when he talks about the wise in the world, that means the wise in the outer world. It's just a manner of speaking, how we're used to thinking. It's like saying the wise in Bangkok or the wise in Hong Kong. But the real world, the Sankara Loka, are just the absolute realities.
But isn't he also saying that when I say he agrees with that?
Yes.
So if he agrees with the Okasa,
what is it the wise in the world agree upon as not existing, and I too say it does not exist, form that is permanent, stable, eternal, and not subject to change. This the wise in the world agree upon as not existing, and so on. And what is it the wise in the world agree upon as existing? Form that is impermanent, suffering, subject to change, feeling, perception, volitional formations, consciousness that's impermanent, suffering, subject to change. This the wise in the world agree upon as existing. So it's just a way of that we're used to thinking. We say people in the world, but actually what he's agreeing with is that there are only the khandhas, each one, each visible object, each sound arising and falling away, unsatisfactory and not self.
See, the way I understand it is that without the third world, there's no first and second world.
Yeah.
But it does not mean that when there's one chitta experiencing an object, there's nothing else existing. Because there is a basis for believing in the second world and the first world.
Well, the distinction between the first and the second world is when we refer to the moon or Bangkok, it's not referring to beings. The second one is referring to beings. So the conditioned dharmas are what are taken for being
right.
Outer world and for
so
beings.
Exists, although it's not experienced.
Only conditioned dharmas
only
exist.
Conditioned dharmas.
So this is what the wise agree on, that there are just conditioned dharmas arising and falling away, nothing that is permanent, satisfactory, or self.
So the other two, the first two, are just concepts.
That's right.
Oh, so that's the only distinction that should be made. In fact, maybe you shouldn't even make a distinction between the world of the planets and the solar systems and all that and the world of beings. Maybe why should there be a distinction between them when they're both just concepts?
Because different dharmas are represented. When we refer to beings, we're talking about different dharmas from when we're talking about non-beings. Like when we're talking about beings, we're talking about dharmas conditioned by karma and rupas that are conditioned by chitta, karma, nutriment, as well as temperature. We're talking about different realities. Otherwise, there'd be no idea of being.
Just to clarify, he doesn't say that the wise say that the three kinds of world exist. The term exist is only used in the context of the Sankara Loka world. The other context is, I do not dispute with the world. And that's where the reference to world is the world of beings, Sataloka. And then he talks about a world phenomenon in the world. So that's Sankara Loka. The quote, the Tathagata was born in the world, end quote. Here, the geographic world, Okasa Loka. So there's no statement in the sutta that the other two worlds exist. But they are mentioned.
Yeah.
The only one that exists is the world of formations that fall away. And the one that does not exist is the world of formations that are permanent.
So what's the world?
Reality.
Yes.
What reality?
For example.
Yes. Okay.
We are in this world, right?
Right.
So what's meant by we are the world we are?
Pleasant?
This moment.
This moment, yes.
Anywhere in the world, out of the world, the other world. So what's the world? In this sense?
So the reality of what's happening in this moment.
We are in this world. Many people are not in this world, but the other world. And there, it's not just only this world.
Mm.
So what is the world? That is why, with the understanding, we can read Tipitaka, what Buddha meant. For example, he didn't dispute with the world because everyone knows the world as the geographic or okasa, loka. So there is not just loka, okasa, loka.
Nothing to dispute about it.
Mm-hmm. When people talk about the world, sun and moon and universe and that, this world, that world, they do not talk about beings, that they talk about the place or wherever is there by conditions. It doesn't mean that there is only just this world, many, many stars, universe. Are there people on such and such stars? Who knows? Buddha knew all about this. So he talked about world like geometric world, geographic world, right? That's one world. But no one knows the truth of even that world at all. Just have the idea there are many worlds, and this is a world we live in, and so on. But without the reality which can experience, not I, not you, but there is a reality which arises and experience, different from the moon, the star, which cannot experience anything at all. And that is the world of being, living being. Otherwise, how can there be the idea of dogs and cats and human beings and so on? So there must be a reality which is different from the okasa, and that is the living being. So this world is satta, loka, which experiences everything and knows that that is okasa. The star and moons are okasa, and is there when there is the experiencing of it one at a time, the moon or the star or whatever, because of there is satta loka. If there is no satta loka at all, there are only lokas, the universe and cosmos and so on, no experiencing. So the second one is satta loka. But in truth, what are there must be conditioned reality. Nothing can arise without conditions at all. That's the way to understand world. When there's nothing arising at all, no matter what about the three, not even one arises, there's no world. That's why the end of the world is Lokuttara Dhamma, above, beyond, or whatever is explained. Not world anymore, no world anymore, because there's no conditions for the arising of such reality. So there are two words, the Loka and the Lokuttara. Loka is just the world we are talking about. Whenever, whatever arises by conditions, that is loka. If there is nothing arising at all, but then something just arises, no matter we take it for a star or tree or whatever, that is a world because it arises, so it's there as a world. So the world is that which arises and falls away. And that Lokuttara is not the world which arises and falls away. So no matter we talk about what kind of world, we can't understand what's meant. Whatever arises is world. So when he talk about the rupa, that which cannot experience anything at all, hardness arises, so we see or we touch, and we know that there it is, a reality. So hardness is a world, because it arises to be such, not other thing. So it's a kind of world. So that which is experienced through the eye sense or the eye consciousness is there as rupa world, the world of rupa. How many rupas that is experienced in a day, or always be experienced in a day? You can tell. Yeah.
Do you understand the term rupa?
So rupa, those realities that don't experience anything. So we've talked about visible object is one, and sound is one, and odor that is smelled, and taste is one, and we've talked about three that are experienced at the moment of touching. So what are the three that are experienced at the moment of touching?
So, how many rupas can be experienced every day, from birth to death?
How?
Those four, and then the three that are touched: hardness or softness, temperature, heat or cold, and motion or pressure. So, seven. Commonly experienced, like even now while we're talking, commonly experienced through sense doors.
Are there only seven rupas? Who knows without the teachings? More than seven, but they cannot be experienced in daily life.
So what Ajahn is saying is that what we take for the world is actually only seven kinds of reality or rupas. Yes, the seven that we experienced through seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. So everything that we can imagine as being in the world, both inanimate and animate, are just seven kinds of rupas. There are more, but they're not experienced. And as we talked about yesterday, every rupa requires, you know, other rupas to support it. And we talked about that, but without complicating, that in terms of what can be directly experienced, only seven.
Oh, when we say that whatever arises and falls away by conditions is loka, well, of course, the Lokuttara cittas arise and fall away and are conditioned, but experience the reality that is not conditioned and are not of this world, but actually they are still conditioned and arise and fall away.
But since it experiences Nibbana, the Lokuttara Dhamma, how can we call it Lokuttara Citta because of the object which it experiences? That's why we call citta by way of the object it experienced, or by cetasikas which accompany it. So there are more than seven rupas, but only seven can be experienced one at a time. So we know that actually there is no one. Whatever we take from my body is only hardness, smell, so not I at all, no one at all. So it's useless to go anywhere to meditate without understanding. So what's the purpose of meditation? Just wasting time and have wrong understanding, turning away from the Buddha's teachings. What else is loka?
Very important. Is rupa important? What experiences rupa?
Like when visible object is seen, what experiences rupa, that visible object? What experiences that which is seen, the visible object?
Under the condition. So under the condition.
Visible object. We've said that realities arise by conditions, right? So the visible object and the sound, which are both rupas, arise by conditions. But just because they arise doesn't mean they are experienced, right?
Right.
So what experiences? What is the faculty that experiences something?
At this very moment.
Right.
It has to be this way.
Visible object is real.
Is it reality?
It's reality.
Yeah, how do you know that?
Okay, is visible object seen now? Is it experienced now, visible object? Okay, so what sees or experiences visible object now? Or sound, what experiences or hears sound now? Is it you or me that sees or hears?
I'm seeing.
You're seeing.
I'm hearing.
You're hearing. So what is you that is seeing or hearing?
No you, but what is there, which is not you? At moment of seeing, a reality,
right,
which can experience an object. So there are two kinds of realities. In brief, one cannot experience anything at all. It arises by conditions, but it cannot experience. Right? What are they that you can tell, which arises but cannot experience anything? Now, here.
At the present moment.
Right.
Yes.
Right. What are there which arise but cannot experience anything at all? One by one. Can visible objects see anything?
No.
And that is a reality. It arises to be seen, but it cannot experience.
No.
So it is the reality which cannot experience. Rupa, Dhamma. We use that word rupa for any reality which cannot experience anything at all. What else? Is that which arises but cannot experience.
now, now,
now.
So those ones that we were just talking about, we were mentioning that which is seen, visible object, is experienced now, but it doesn't experience anything. Sound. Sound is heard, is experienced, but it doesn't know or experience anything. So visible object is one, sound is another.
What else?
What else?
In a day. This is learning the teachings of the Buddha about whatever appears now, to understand it, not just thinking from reading only, but today we can understand what Buddha taught from what appears.
Like what is touched now, what is experienced at the moment of touching.
Reality.
What reality? What is touched at that moment?
Touch.
What is experienced? What is touched?
Your hand is in contact with the table.
What is real at that moment?
At that moment.
Now.
Yes, but what is it?
Reality.
What reality?
What kind?
What kind of reality?
Like, is a table touched, or what is experienced at that moment when one has an idea, before one has an idea of table, what is actually experienced? Is
very simple.
Is visible object touched or sound touched? Or what is touched at that moment?
Close your eyes. What is there? Touch.
Yes.
What is there? What is touched? Nothing or what?
What is the sensation or experience at the point where your hand meets the table?
Is sound touched?
No.
Is taste? Everyone is touched.
Just that. Don't think too much. Yeah. What is touched?
Touch.
You touch what?
So what
is touched?
What is experienced?
Close your eyes. What is touched? What is there? What is there? What is there?
Object.
What is that object? Not sound.
No sound.
Not visible object. So what at moment of touching?
Present moment.
This moment of touching, what is there? Which is touched. You touched something, right?
Yes.
What is that which is touched?
Not odor, not taste. What is it?
That's what.
See, even it's real, without the teaching, no idea about the absolute truth, hardness. Is it hard? Which is touched? So, is it real? Hardness. We mixed with our own thought all the time. But what about that which is touched?
So can we say solidity is being experienced when
okay.
the hand meets the table? Because if you touch that pouch,
yes.
It's a
different.
Soft,
yes.
Hard,
yes.
Soft.
It's also a degree of hardness or softness, right?
Mm-hmm.
A degree of solidity.
Yes.
And likewise, if you were to touch that glass that has a cold water in it, what would you experience there?
Solid.
Yes. And also?
Cold.
Yes.
Cold.
Temperature.
Yes, temperature.
Temperature.
Yes.
Is it real?
Yes.
Yes, not
yes.
no. It's
yes.
real.
Yes.
It's a reality.
Yes.
And if you go outside, heat is experienced.
Yes.
Yeah, it's real.
That's reality.
Yeah.
Otherwise, one learns from book, but no understanding of when it appears as that we have learned. Like seeing sees, we can say seeing see what? That which can be seen, that is visual object. But now, see, seeing sees what? Completely forgot about the word that we have read or learnt before. It can see only a reality which can be seen, which is not heard, which is not smelled. So that which is seen is real because it is seen. How can one say that there is no visible object or object of seeing? Because every moment of seeing, it experiences a reality which is different from seeing. Seeing sees, and that which is seen is not the seeing. So there are two kinds of reality. One is that which can experience. Whenever it arises, it experiences. Otherwise, there is no one, no world, nothing at all. But because of the reality which arises to experience, and their object which is experienced from time to time, and this is conditioned or create the idea of the world or being or whatever, because of that which experiences arises. If that reality does not arise, can there be any world or anything or anyone? See, but one has to understand precisely that whatever arises cannot belong to anyone. It cannot be anyone. It's conditioned to arise and it falls away in split seconds. This is the beginning to see or to understand the virtues, the great wisdom of the Buddha. Begin to understand his great virtues. And this is not enough. How many rupa, that which cannot experience, are experienced in a day? How many? Why? You know, because it experienced from morning up to now. But to think about different ones, how many rupa that is always experienced?
Like we discussed, that which is seen, visible object, sound, taste, odor, four,
seven.
And the other three that are experienced a moment of touching are what?
Hardness
or softness,
and then
cold or heat, touch, temperature, and motion or pressure. So seven commonly experienced. And that which experiences this, the consciousness that experiences that which is visible, it's not I who can see or Sukhin who can see. It's just a moment of consciousness. We call it citta, a moment of citta, a moment of consciousness that experiences that which is visible. And a moment of hearing, another kind of citta or consciousness that hears sound. Smelling, another kind of citta or consciousness that smells odor. Tasting, another one. And then bodily consciousness, which experiences those three rupas you just mentioned, the hardness, the temperature, or the motion. So this is to show no one who experiences at all, just those realities which don't experience anything, such as these seven, which are commonly experienced in a day, and different moments of consciousness and different mental factors which can experience during a day, no one there at all.
So we said only seven rupas experienced all day, the first one being visible object. That means that the visible object we experience all day is the same reality. So what is being experienced by seeing consciousness now is the same reality as has been experienced by seeing consciousness since we got up this morning. Well, in a way, yes, because it has the same basic characteristic. Although the objects that we think we see are changing, just as the sounds that we hear, we think we hear different words being spoken, right, which have meaning. In reality, at the moment of hearing, it is just sound that's experienced. And the recognition of the sound as being the someone's voice, words, meaning, is a thinking process that follows the actual moment of experiencing the sound. So in that sense, if we talk about the ear door, it is the same reality that is being experienced, just sound. And it's similar through the eye door, but much more difficult to understand it, even at an intellectual level, that what is experienced through the eye door by seeing consciousness is just the reality of that which can be seen, which is not people and things, just like hearing isn't words and voices, but it's just that reality that can be experienced.
So now you understand Rupa?
Kind of.
It's the reality that does not experience anything, but seven of them are experienced in a day. So you agree that there are only seven rupas that are experienced in a day?
No. I think the most, I think this seven probably is the most that we experience, but there could be other things that we don't experience. On daily basis.
Right, but okay, you're saying that seven rupas are experienced every day, but some days there are more than seven.
I don't know the others.
Ah, okay.
Yes, because you just said the seven rupa that we talked about is, these are the most that we experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
On a daily basis.
Right. And why do you believe that there are these seven? I mean, on how sure are you that there are just these seven that are experienced?
Because like seeing, touching, like temperature and all this, I think it applies on every day, so that's why, you know, like, because it is, you know, seven.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
At this moment, what is experienced?
Learning, teaching. Wait, yeah, learning. Understanding. Learning, understanding.
Is it Rupa? That which appears as the object?
No.
So, can that which is not rupa be experienced?
Can that consciousness be experienced?
So we're talking about realities. So when you mention that learning is experienced, what is the reality of learning? Is it a rupa like sound or visible object or taste? Or is it an idea or what is it? Because it's not that which is seen, it's not that which is heard, smelled, tasted, or touched. So, is it just that which is thought about? Like, now I'm learning. Is it a reality or is it an idea?
Reality.
What is the reality?
Hearing the talk. That's the reality?
We've just said that hearing just hears sound, so only sound is heard. But after various sounds have been heard, then there is thinking about the sounds thinking about the meaning of those sounds, right? So the idea about the sound, the talk, is different from the actual sounds that are heard. Because at the moment of hearing, only sound is heard.
Mm.
But afterwards, after there's been hearing of many, many sounds, there's thinking about the nature, the kind of sounds. There's thinking about meaning of sounds. And there's thinking about learning.
But actually, it's only sound
is ever heard.
Only sound is ever heard.
Just like we said,
what is seen is just that which is visible, that which is seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards there may be an idea of table and people, but actually that which is seen is just that which is visible, and it's thinking which thinks, oh, I've seen a table or I've seen a person. But actually at a moment of seeing, there's no idea of table or person. Like if a dog is here and sees visible object, no thought of table or person. Well, not in words. There's an idea. There's an idea of something. It knows that this is not a table or not. It's a thing. But the point is that what is seen is different from the idea of a thing or a person, or the words or the language or the labels about table or person. Just like at a moment of touching, you agreed it's hardness or cool that's touched. So at a moment of touching, it's not a table that's touched, it's hardness or cool. And then afterwards, there's thinking about, oh, the coolness is a glass of water, the hardness is something, a table. But at the moment of touching, no idea of table or glass or thing or person.
When your hand's in contact with the table,
mm-hmm.
we said that what's been experienced at that moment is hardness. And the reason we know it's a table and a hand is because of other moments of thinking, because there's seeing also. So there's information coming there, and there's memory of previous experience and all that kind of thing going on. So therefore we know my hand is in contact with the table, or it's a table that I'm touching, right? But if your hand came into contact with something behind you, you'd still feel a degree of hardness or softness,
mm-hmm.
but the object may be unknown, mm-hmm. or you may guess, okay, that must be my chair. But that's all thinking. What is actually being experienced at that moment is hardness being experienced by the body sense. And of course there's thinking and memory, which gives a lot of context to that experience. Is that fair enough?
Yes.
So it's the same with hearing of sound through the ear door, because the ear is the doorway through which sound is experienced by hearing consciousness. That the actual moment of hearing sound, there's no knowing at that moment whether it's the sound of a person's voice or sound of a car or sound of the air conditioner. That would come later, from thinking about the sound, the many moments of sound. And when it's a voice, at the actual moment of just hearing sound, there's no meaning, is there? No? The words of a sentence are heard, but obviously it's just different moments of hearing sound and then a lot of thinking about the sound to build up the picture, if you like, of words, sentence, paragraph, meaning, and so on. All of which is thinking, mentally processing, if you like,
mm-hmm.
the sound that's been heard.
Yeah.
So when we talk about realities, we're trying to identify what that means. What are the realities of the present moment? So what we take for the reality of the present moment turns out to be actually a composite, and the realities themselves are not known as such by us. As the bare, let's say the bare realities, such as bare sound, bare hearing. The world as we experience it is a world of people and things and words, rather than sound as one reality and hearing as a different reality. That's the world we're familiar with.
So each sound heard is different from each other sound. It arises and falls away. And if it wasn't different, it wouldn't lead to different ideas about different people and things and air conditioners and so on. But still, each one is just that which is heard, just sound. No one or no thing in it. And hearing, which hears it, each moment of hearing is different from each other moment of hearing, because the previous hearing's risen and fallen away. But it's never I or you or anyone that hears, just a moment of experiencing sound before this, thinking about it.
So, is this moment a world?
We just said that a world, in the absolute sense, it refers to each reality which is conditioned and arises and falls away. So at this moment, for example, there is seeing of visible object. So is seeing a reality that is conditioned and arises and falls away?
So it's
so
not...
it's world, it's right.
So it's not the matter of just remembering what is heard, but it's the understanding, considering, until it is confidence of the truth. For example, if nothing arises at all, no world at all. But whatever arises is a world. So what are there at the moment of a world appear?
What is the reality at the moment when the world appears?
Experiencing.
So experiencing, is it a world? That moment of experiencing, is that a world?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Confirm.
Yes, yes. And that which is experienced, the
visible object that is seen, is that a world?
Yes.
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 Hearing, at a moment of hearing, the experiencing, is that a world?
Yes.
Sound that is heard, is that a world?
Yes.
Helena, is it a world?
No.
No, it's because no. It's just an idea. It's
so
not a reality.
Is there? What
yes.
is there?
But there is. There must be something.
I think that we have to begin to understand reality slowly but sure. For example, no doubt about world at all. Whatever is there arising is a world. So at moment of seeing, how many worlds are there? Just the moment of seeing. Now,
how many at the moment of seeing?
how many realities. Seeing is how many realities.
I changed from reality to world.
Just now.
Just now, at a moment of seeing. Just one reality which sees, okay? So one reality, one world which sees. And it sees how many worlds?
One.
One visible object, one world that is seen, right? That's
at moment of seeing, how many worlds are there? As much as you know. Only one? Only one?
One that sees.
Yes.
Can there be only one? Can seeing arise on its own?
Can seeing arise on its own?
On its own?
It can.
Can it arise, the question is, can it see without seeing anything?
No.
No, so there has to be that which is seen.
Yes.
Depends how you count.
How many worlds? Yeah. Are there as much as one knows? How many worlds at this moment of seeing?
One.
One or two? If one, there must be only seeing without that which is seen.
So seeing and that which is seen. Okay. Two so far, right?
Okay.
But they are different. No matter it's different, but it arises, that is a world. So, at moment of seeing, there is seeing. Seeing arises to see. So seeing is a world. And that which is seen arises too. Otherwise it cannot be seen. So the object which is seen is not the seeing. Two different worlds. So now, the meaning of the world, the absolute meaning is whatever arises is a world in itself, nothing to do with other world at all. So that which is seen is that world which cannot experience. And the seeing is the world because it arises, but it experiences. Seeing arises. So it must be a world. Something arises and that is a world. If nothing arises, there is no world. Mm-hmm. So at moment of seeing, seeing is a world. And that which is seen arises too. That is another world. They are different. So there are two kinds of categories of realities. That which arises but cannot experience cannot be that which arises and experience at all. That's why that which is seen is no one, no thing, and that which experiences is no one, no thing. This is what Buddha enlightened each moment. Much more than this, we just begin to understand a moment of seeing, but there are more than just two worlds, which without the teachings of the Buddha, no one can know that at all. So, how many realities that can be experienced through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body? At moment of seeing, what is seen? At this moment of seeing, there must be a reality which is seen. One kind of rupa. Can it be heard?
Yes.
That which is seen, can it be heard?
Yes.
What is seen? Now, it is seen. What is seen? A reality. What kind of reality?
This moment.
Yes. What kind? There are two kinds. One can experience, the other cannot experience. So what kind which is experienced, what kind of reality which is experienced at moment of seeing?
What is seen now? We've said it's not table and it's not person. What is seen at this moment? It's not sound, it's not taste, so what is seen now?
Consciousness
is what experiences, what is actually seen. At the moment of seeing, like now, what is seen?
This is not just for you, but for everyone, because it's so very difficult to understand that which is seen, as no one, no thing, no body at all, only a reality, an element which is real, because it is seen, but no understanding of it as it is that reality, which cannot be anything else but only that which can be seen, different from the idea of people and things. Because if we close our eyes now, it cannot appear. But when one opens one's eyes, from seeing there's the idea of many things in around here, see? But that which is reality which can be seen is only at moment of seeing. But when one closes one's eye, it's gone. It cannot be seen like one opens one's eyes. And this is what Buddha enlightened. True or not, close your eyes. What appears now does not appear. Open your eyes. It's different from moment of closing one's eyes. One begins to understand that which is seen is real. But usually we take that for something from shape and form. But only that which is seen, no idea mixed in it. In order to understand realities as they are, different ones at a time. Even at moment of seeing, that which is seen is not the seeing. And that which is seen when there is no seeing closes one's eyes no more. So it will eliminate the idea of taking that which is seen for something, like table, things. Otherwise, there will always be the idea of something, which is wrong understanding. Taking that which arises and falls away in split seconds for something permanent.
So just as you agreed, it's
only sound that is heard, not air conditioner or birds, just sound. So it's just visible object that is seen, that which is visible that's seen. Sound isn't seen, hardness isn't seen, people aren't seen, microphone isn't seen. So it's just that which is visible, visible object that is seen. Different from the seeing consciousness which experiences it. The visible object doesn't know anything, it's not conscious of anything, it's just that which is seen.
Can understanding last? Stay long?
Forever.
Even for moments? Can? Possible?
No.
Why?
Because
understanding acquire, how to say, I think it acquire a great amount to understand everything.
Because it's a reality, just like
seeing or visible object or any other reality, and all realities in a day are conditioned, or they arise and they fall away instantly. Not one reality lasts. So just as seeing doesn't last for an instant, it arises experiences visible object falls away. The same with understanding. It arises, experiences object which it understands, and falls away instantly. So nothing lasts for an instant. Hearing arises, hears sound, falls away instantly. This is what the Buddha taught, that all dharmas are conditioned, impermanent, unsatisfactory because they're impermanent and not self. So the reason understanding doesn't last is because it's a conditioned reality.
Is understanding a world?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Never change.
No.
Confident.
Yes.
So you understand the world, because not many people can understand the world as Buddha experienced and taught. Everything which arises is a world at that very moment.
Because, you know, when you talk about the world,
I was actually thinking the world. So that's why, you know, I get, you know, confused of the world. So I try to think of, you know, what's mean by world, but now I actually understand what you referring to, the Dharma world. Yeah.
Actually,
the momentary world.
Okay, the momentary, yeah.
And actually, the point is that
that idea of the world that you've been brought up to refer to would not exist if there was not these different worlds.
Is it correct
to talk about a momentary world?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Because at a moment, that's all that exists. Just that moment of seeing or that moment of hearing. It's not as though that's a part of what is existing at that moment. It is the entirety of what is at that moment. Hmm.
So now, what is life?
Reality and this moment.
Is life different from world?
Yes.
In what way?
Something we are experiencing.
That which cannot experience at all, can we say that it's living being or life?
Living beings.
That which cannot experience.
Cannot experience.
Sound, visible object, hardness. Is it life? Or what is life? It's a world, but is it life? Each word should be studied carefully in order to really understand the absolute truth.
Can we say that something inanimate is life?
Inanimate.
Yeah. Ajahn asked about sound, hardness. Could we say those things were life?
Yes.
In what sense?
Life, right?
Life, L-I-F-E.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, just explain then how you understand the term life, then why you think sound or hardness is life or part of life. Is that right? You think it's part of life because it's what is experienced?
Yes.
Yes, because, you know, we are seeing every day, we are hearing every day, and that's reality. So, yeah.
Right. Is there life now?
Yes.
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 When?
This moment.
Yes. Why?
So we are here.
If there was no experience now, would there be life? If there was just hardness, but no experience of hardness, would there be life? So there must be a moment of experiencing for there to be life, right?
Yeah.
So life is only in a moment, only when it arises and experiences an object.
Just to answer, because we are here, the idea of you being here is because there's experience, there's seeing, there's hearing, there's touching, there's smelling, there's thinking. So these are what is taken for, this is the basis for the idea of life. So in fact, in reality, this is life. Seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, thinking, feeling.
And there's only ever one experience at a time, one moment of experiencing at a time. So when Jan says life exists in a moment, and a moment of seeing, there is life at that moment of seeing. No hearing, no thinking, no smelling, tasting, touching. And at a moment of hearing, only hearing, that is life at that moment. No seeing, no thinking, no touching. So one experiencing, one kind of experiencing at a time. And each one conditions the next moment of experiencing. So there are moments of experiencing through the eye door, and then there are moments of experiencing through the mind door, moments of experiencing through the ear door, each moment of experiencing conditioning the next one. But no Helena, no Sarah that ever experiences just a moment of seeing, which experiences visible object, and then other moments of consciousness that experience that object, and then moments of thinking which think about it. So one moment of experiencing at a time, and that's what life is.
Based on this understanding about world, one might understand that, that if there's the idea of something existing and lasting and permanent, in fact, the reality is that there is something rising, appearing, and falling away. Because a permanent Nibbana does not create the ideal world. Only that which rises and falls away creates the ideal world.
Even it's not the idea, it's our world.
It's a world in itself.
Without it, there's no world.
Without the reality, there's no.
Nothing arises.
Nothing at all. Yeah. Nothing appears.
So from birth to death, without the understanding of what Buddha taught, it's impossible to understand what we're talking about at all. Talking about I or things, no understanding the truth of it. That's why the most precious reality in life is understanding. Otherwise, ignorance is always there.
And so the development of understanding, or bhavana, or patipati, has nothing to do with focusing or being in a quiet place or concentrating or following a method at all. It's all about just understanding what is real at this moment, what is loka, what is world at this moment. So very different from common ideas of what Buddhism is.
That's why Buddha taught for 45 years. Why not just one day or a few words and just go to any place without his teachings? So now we talk about the rupa, which cannot experience at all, and that which experience is nama, just simple word. Nama, nama dhamma, everything which is your dhamma. So that which can experience, Buddha used the term nama dhamma, and that which cannot experience, rupa dhamma, in all. Is rupa very important? Is it important? The rupa. In what way?
Just understand.
In what sense?
We need to understand rupa.
Not everyone. But to whom, no matter who, is rupa important, very important in one's life? Mm-hmm. For example, please.
Like what is seen now. Is there any concern about what is seen? Is there any interest in what is seen? Does anyone mind what is seen?
Yes.
And sound. Yes. Is one interested and concerned and attached to what is heard?
Yeah.
And smelt and tasted?
Yes.
Like at lunch?
Yes.
Everyone's so concerned and interested in
yes.
what is tasted and touched, whether hard or soft or heat or cold or whether the shower is just right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you like to have today? What would you like to have today?
Understanding. Understanding.
Of what?
This Dharma talk. This Dharma talk.
What is Dharma talk?
Dharma.
Yeah, Dhamma. What is Dharma talk?
Buddha's teaching of reality.
At this moment only, but after this Dharma talk, what do you want to have?
Seven rupas.
Always rupas in the day. So it is object of clinging. One clings to what appears, no matter its visible object, sound, smell, or whatever. Is there any clinging to tangible object which can be experienced through the body sense? Right now?
Yeah.
If it's too hot, if it's
yes.
too cold, see?
Yes.
Or is clinging?
Yes.
Is clinging a world?
Yes.
Why? Same answer. Never change when it's the truth. It cannot be changed. Why?
why I was seeing a world.
Reality.
And reality that is conditioned, that means, yes. And does it last?
No.
Rises, falls away instantly. Understanding, why was understanding a reality? Why was understanding a world?
Same truth.
Yeah.
Conditioned. Arises, falls away,
yes.
Reality, right?
Yes.
So why is clinging a world?
It's attachment.
Is it a reality? Is attachment real? At the moment of liking the softness or liking the coolness, not real liking? Liking the sound, liking the taste, not real at that moment?
That's real.
At that moment,
yes.
Right. So
yes.
When liking arises, it's real.
Yes.
When it arises, it's by conditions. And as soon as it's arisen, it falls away instantly. So it's a world.
It's a world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of the three worlds?
Reality world?
Yes, but when we talk about understanding, it's a world. What kind of the three worlds we just talked about? Okasa loka, satta loka, or sankhara loka? New word, but we understand about the okasa loka, right?
She hasn't got the Pali terms.
So, okay, loka means world,
yes.
And okasa refers to the big world, the world we're used to thinking of, the world outside, yes. And satta means being, so satta loka, like we refer to beings, this is satta loka, to people and beings.
Animals and
living beings, yes. And then sankhara loka, which only the Buddha can teach about. Sankhara means conditioned. So conditioned loka, sankhara loka, refers to conditioned realities. So understanding is sankhara, it's conditioned, sankhara loka. Seeing is sankhara loka. So when Ajahn asks which world clinging is sankhara loka.
And satta loka.
And satta loka, because it's not the world outside. But
when there is the understanding, there can be many questions about that in order to really understand whether it's perfect understanding, complete understanding. So, rupa is very important, right? Why, again? Yes? But why is it so important? Why is it so important?
Understanding.
For example, that which is seen, is it important? Is there any, yes, in what sense? At the moment of seeing visible object, there is clinging to the seeing and to that which is seen. In one's life, one clings to that which is experienced. If that is not experienced, there cannot be clinging to that object. at all because it does not arise. How can it be the object of clinging? But whatever arises and is experienced, it is the object of clinging. The whole life, clinging to seeing, clinging to that which is seen, clinging to hearing, clinging to that which is heard, the sound, full of clinging all day.
Ajahn is pointing out that visible object and sound are important to us because we cling to them. Is that right?
Yes.
That's why they're important. Otherwise, because they, we are told they are just momentary arising and falling away, they're not actually worth clinging to. But since they're not understood as they truly are, then there's clinging to them. And the rupas of the body, our body, are most important of any, because the thing that's dearest to us is ourselves.
So what it means is, regardless of whether one's ever heard the Buddha's teachings, regardless of whether there's any understanding or no understanding, what one attaches importance to, important in that sense, what one finds dear and precious in life because of attachment, is what is seen, heard, smelt, tasted and touched. So it's not important in the sense that understanding is important to develop. It's what one attaches importance to, what one likes a lot, what one minds a lot about. One minds a lot about when one's sick because of what is experienced. One minds a lot if one loses one's eyesight because nothing is seen. One minds a lot about what is heard.
What is better? To cling and not to cling. How can one have less clinging? How can one have less clinging?
Understanding of why we are clinging onto this object.
Well, there's clinging because the tendency to cling has been accumulated. So it would just keep accumulating unless there's some change. Yeah. And the reason we cling to visible object and sound is that we don't see them as they truly are.
Okay.
As just being impermanent and fleeting realities that arise and fall away and are the object of experience like that. So that's where understanding comes into the picture.
There's also understanding that nothing is permanent. In other words, all realities have three characteristics. They are anatta. They're not self. They're not permanent. Okay? and there are dukkha unsatisfactory. So with that in mind, the understanding of clinging is that when we cling to something, it is impermanent. This is dukkha is unsatisfactory to us. When something we like does not last, for instance, as a concept, I cling to this pen, okay? But we also cling to realities too. When we have greater understanding, we can see that we do that. But in more elementary terms, we cling to these things. Oh, I like my pen. And when the pen breaks, gets lost, whatever, we're upset about it in concept terms, okay? And so it is the nature of these realities to be unsatisfactory, creates dissatisfaction in life. And so we wonder, why do we have dissatisfaction in life? Why is there so much dissatisfaction? And when there is greater understanding of the nature of clinging and what it does, then with greater understanding there can be somewhat detachment from these things, at least at the lower levels of just attachment to the concepts.
So, this is not the kind of understanding that you develop by going to a meditation retreat, right?
The meditation will never teach you this, and we'll never talk about this.
So, in brief, the cause of clinging is ignorance, not understanding realities. In ignorance, one thinks that the cause of problems is people and things and situations, but actually it's just ignorance of reality that conditions clinging, which leads to disappointment and unhappiness. And understanding is the opposite of ignorance. So the less ignorance, the less clinging. The more understanding is developed, the more realities are seen for what they are. That's all. And so it's only through the development of understanding that defilements can ever be eradicated eventually, through the development of detachment with understanding. No one who detaches, just understanding which understands, and detachment which develops with it. A very long and slow and gradual development of understanding, but it has to begin now with understanding those different realities, those realities which are experienced, that cannot experience anything, such as visible object and sound and those tangible objects, and those realities which can experience, such as seeing, hearing, liking, disliking, clinging, attachment, understanding, ignorance. So these are all different realities which can experience an object. None of them me or you.
And this is the
intellectual understanding. We have a word, pariyatti, the intellectual understanding, which when it develops and is really firm and confident about what is real at this very moment, it is that understanding which leads to patipatti, or the direct understanding of realities. Nothing to do with practice as people understand it. So it all begins with understanding more about the theory or the intellectual knowledge about what is real at this very moment.
Patipatti is the basis for the common idea of Thai word called patibat, and this is what most people understand it to mean. Patibat means practice, go and sit, go and practice, but that's not the real meaning. The real meaning is it refers to a level of understanding that is the result of developed of understanding based on
the level of hearing and considering. So it's conditioned. It's a sankhara dhamma. Understanding is a world, a sankhara world, which one of its nature is to accumulate. You can't just make it happen. You can't make direct understanding happen. It has to develop slowly. Like attachment. Attachment increases with repeated arising. So understanding too. It increases only step by step, drop by drop.
So what's right and what's wrong? Reality is not self, or reality is someone, something.
There's no right or wrong.
What is correct understanding and what is wrong understanding? Is it right that to say that visible object seen, or is it wrong to say that visible object is seen?
Physical object visible object is seen.
Is that correct, or is it right or wrong to say that?
Right.
Right, okay.
Yes.
So is it right to say that there is no right and wrong?
Yes.
It's right to say that it's not right.
It's no right and wrong. So there's no right to say right or wrong.
So to say that there is...
It's a matter of defining terms. In accordance with...
You mean right understanding as opposed to wrong understanding.
In accordance with...
We're talking about like the way things are in reality. So we can use right as meaning in accordance with the way things really are. And we can use wrong to mean not in accordance with the way things really are. So are there things that can be understood? Can the way things really are be understood?
By cultivating development.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Can things be understood as they really are? Because?
Under different conditions.
Well, I think the answer I would give is if there's understanding, if one accepts the Buddha became enlightened, enlightened means understood things the way they are. And his teaching is about the way things are in a nutshell. So that's what we're discussing. To better understand what is real at the present moment, as opposed to how things are taken to be. Like, well, we talked about seeing invisible object, hearing and sound. Now, before coming to this discussion, had we thought of things in those terms? No. So is there a better understanding of the way things are? Right. So in the terms we're discussing, that is right, right? And if there was the idea that this was not important, for example, then we'd say it's wrong because it's useful to understand things the way they are. That's all.
Is there any wrong understanding? Or is there wrong understanding?
Wrong understanding?
Yeah.
No wrong understanding.
At all. What is... Yeah, okay.
Again, to clarify terms...
Can a person understand wrongly? In other words, think they understand what is right, but be mistaken?
Yes.
Yes, that's what Ajahn means by wrong understanding.
So that understanding is wrong because there's no one at all. Only wrong understanding or right understanding. Different ones. And what is right understanding and what is wrong understanding? Of whatever appears now. I see, I hear, right or wrong. I am seeing right or wrong.
Yes, right.
I am seeing.
Not right.
Not right.
Not right.
So it's wrong.
Yes.
Wrong understanding.
Yes.
Taking seeing for I.
Yes.
Seeing has fallen away. It cannot be anyone at all. So there can be right understanding and wrong understanding. That is not just always right understanding. But wrong understanding is wrong according to that which appears. And right understanding is right according to the characteristic of that which appears. Can anyone have less and less wrong understanding?
Less and less wrong understanding. Yes, can.
By oneself? Thinking in one's own way? As before, or what? From hearing the right words, not the wrong words.
For example, now,
there's been a lot of careful considering about what is seen and what sees, what is heard and what hears. Is it by considering in this way more about the truth of realities of life? Is this the way that there will gradually be a little bit less wrong understanding? Right, okay. If one hears about the characteristic of metta, how it's different from attachment, and one is wholesome and one is unwholesome, is it a way to have a little less wrong understanding about what is... Right, okay. So by considering and discussing, there can be a little more right understanding and a little less wrong understanding in a day. But without that, without hearing about these realities, about these truths, just by thinking on one's own, one will never get closer to understanding. However much one thinks on one's own, if one hasn't heard that there are those realities which can experience an object, like seeing and hearing, and those realities that cannot experience anything, like visible object and sound, just by thinking on one's own, no matter at home or in a meditation center, it'll never ever be known.
No.
So there has to be the hearing and very careful considering of what is heard about the Buddha's teaching about realities now, in order for there to be a little less wrong understanding. So that's the purpose of developing right understanding, to gradually, so that gradually the wrong understanding can become less and less, and realities are understood more clearly as just realities, not me or mine or table or someone, but just different realities. A world?
Yes.
Good. Clear comprehension, yes, on intellectual understanding about the world.
Yes.
Just intellectual understanding.
Because wrong understanding
is another reality, just like right understanding is a reality,
yes,
that is conditioned and rises and falls away. So is wrong understanding another reality,
yes,
that arises in a day, falls away instantly,
mm,
not Helena's or Sarah's or anyone else's?
And is wrong understanding seeing?
Yes.
Is it the same reality
as seeing consciousness?
No.
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 So, what is it? not seeing, not hearing, not smelling, not tasting, not touching, not thinking. So what is it? Wrong understanding. Is it real?
Not real.
Does it arise to have that idea or wrong understanding about seeing an invisible object as someone, something, person, or being?
You just said before that
right understanding is a reality. It's conditioned. Yes. It arises. It falls away.
Yes.
How about wrong understanding? Is it real?
Not real.
Why not? Can there be wrong understanding?
Yes.
Like if one thinks Helena sees,
yes. it can be wrong understanding.
It can be wrong understanding. So when there is wrong understanding, it arises, it's real, and it falls away. So it's a reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right understanding. When there's right understanding, it is due to the function of the reality, the mental reality, which is right understanding, right?
Yes.
So when there's wrong understanding, there is also a reality which performs the function of wrong understanding.
Yes.
So same as right understanding, which is a reality that arises,
yes,
and is a world, wrong understanding also arises and is a world.
At a moment of
thinking now, there can be thinking that is wholesome or thinking which is unwholesome. If it's wholesome thinking, it arises with wholesome mental factors that assist it. So at moment of thinking, there is right effort, wholesome effort, there is wholesome concentration, and there may be understanding at that moment. When it's unwholesome thinking, then it may be with attachment, it may be with aversion, definitely it's with ignorance, and if it's with attachment, there may be wrong understanding at that moment too. So these are different kinds of mental factors that arise with moments of consciousness, like thinking. All these moments of experiencing, seeing, hearing, thinking, and these mental factors like clinging, right understanding, wrong understanding, ignorance, these are all namas, all realities which can experience an object, different from the rupas which don't experience anything.
So clean now.
Yes. Clinging to what's coming next.
Uh-huh.
Clinging to what's being seen.
Uh-huh.
Cling to what at this moment?
Lots of food
there. I believe so.
We can blame all our time friends.
There's always clean as the experiences,
because
out of ignorance, no understanding. So cling to that object as permanent, as something like this. But it's very weak, so it doesn't appear as it's clinging. But it's there, ready to arise by accumulation.